Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Okay, thank you very much for sort of inviting me to talk. I guess this is the round two from the earlier discussion this morning. What I'm going to do very quickly is, and this will be a race through, I'll try and do it in a quarter of an hour, but a race through, try and tell you a story about APUC over the last few years, because I think there is a lot of learning around shared service centre and how they should operate and how you should be moving forward. So that's what I'm going to try and do. But before I do that, I'll try and put this into context. The Scottish Government, John McLennan did a report for them a number of years ago and basically said something fairly simple. There are some things that are quite logically procured right the way across the public sector. Office services, stuff like that, because everybody's using them. There's other stuff that quite naturally is procured on a sector basis, whether that's HEFE, whether NHS, whether it's local authorities, what have you. And there's other stuff that's very logically procured at institutional and organisational level. And therefore, we should sort of set out to work on that basis. So APUC was set up as the centre of expertise to do the collaborative procurement for all colleges and universities in Scotland. And if you look at them, there are 60 institutions, ranging from the largest one, which is the University of Edinburgh, which, well, that was last year's, but we've basically just announced we've just gone past the 700 million mark. But actually, you will see a huge long tail of colleges where the lowest one is actually under 5 million. And that presents, obviously, a huge challenge. The larger institutions have professional procurement resource. The smaller ones can't afford to do it. So that's basically where we fit in, and that's the population of 60 institutions that we've been working with. So what do we do? Fundamentally, we are here to obtain more benefit for our institutions going forward. We want to make sure that people can stretch their budgets even further. But we're also delivering an improvement agenda that was set out by John McLellan and the Scottish Government. And the improvement agenda is around collaborative and institutional contracting. It's around capability. It's around systems, processes, etc. I should probably just go back and mention, in terms of institutions, though, that the Scottish Government last year basically decided that for the college sector, further education, they wanted to reduce the number of colleges. So they're on a mission to reduce from about 40-ish institutions down to 15. So there are probably about there is huge merger activity that is taking place at the moment. So when I tell the story of APUC, I actually kind of think about the classic change management process and team building processes that you go through. You form people intellectually, kind of think about it. There's usually some kind of storm, which I'll come to. Then you get a kind of coming together, people, you get the more sort of emotional buy-in, ownership, etc., and then you really get to perform and get the benefit delivery. And that's exactly what we saw with APUC. So when it was set up, it was really set up by the driving force of Scottish ministers. They wanted to actually change the structure in Scotland. Clearly, people in the sector could see that, you know, there were more things that can do, but to actually change the structure and move forward did need a driving force. So it was sponsored by the government, by the Scottish Funding Council. The first person that came in to run APUC and the first team took very much a project approach. This is a project to set this up. So therefore, the culture was very much of, this is what we do, this is how we do it, this is what you are going to do. Very much a telling culture. And they got going, they set up the company, they started some systems implementations, they recruited people, they got going. But they didn't have a buy-in from the sector. And literally, both Scotland's universities and colleges all went, "Hey, you're intruding on what we do. We don't like this. We ought to try and stop this. But hang on, the minister says that we've got to do it." So there was basically a kind of a big blowout, reviews, team inside APUC was changed over. And then we changed the approach, and this is where I came in. Then we changed the approach and basically said, right, we are working in partnership with universities and colleges. We are helping them deliver their strategic agendas. We're not trying to push anything on them. What we're trying to do is deliver their agendas. So it's all around service. It's all around delivery. It's around listening. And, of course, at that point, people start to buy in. So we focused on customer and stakeholder relations. We talk at a number of different levels to institutions, both at the kind of the operating level, the sort of the actual buyer level, and service level, but also we talk to every principal in every institution across Scotland every year. And the principals know what we do. We've seen a growth in contracting. We can demonstrate benefit delivery for every institution. We can talk to every principal and say, this is what you benefit you get from collaborative contracting. We've run a programme of capability assessments, and therefore we know for every institution in Scotland what their fundamental capabilities are against that assessment. But alongside that, we've also linked that up into development plans for each institution for them to take forward and for APUC to help them take forward. So capability is developing. Moving into, obviously, sustainable procurement. But what's been interesting is a number of institutions now have come to us and said, OK, we probably don't need to operate our own procurement resource locally for our own stuff. Why don't you provide this as a shared service? So we've now moved beyond collaborative procurement. That's still building, but actually we're putting in shared services as well, providing shared service procurement resource. I talked about the college agenda. We're now also working with the principals and the people in each of the colleges that are actually going through merger activity to provide them with support for due diligence, changing system structures, looking at the contracting, how you merge from, say, three lots of contracts down to one lot of contracts, etc. How do you stage that? How do you look at systems and systems contracts? And you've got, obviously, you know, paying... maybe by user, but if you suddenly got three times the users, is that the right thing to do? So we're actually working with all the merging activity to actually advise and help them about how they actually go things and actually advise them on what options they've got for structuring procurement in the new institutions. So what difference have we made? Every institution is a member. Collaborative agreements are in place. We moved up. I should say the kind of first column is where we start, where we were back in 2009. Second column is where we are now. So we've moved up from 20 to 139 collaborative agreements now. Now, back in 2009, less than 7% of the spend was going through collaborative procurement. Now, 25% of sector spend is going through there. It will probably be more like 35 in a year's time. In terms of systems supported, we're supporting 48 systems, and that's actually 48 common systems. That's a common system across 48 institutions. Other systems and activity supporting their hubs and information like that, every institution is in there. We're providing 15 institutions with a shared service. And if you look at capability, because of what we've done with training assessments, this is right the way across every institution. If you go back to 2009, then one institution was rated as superior, 20% rated as improved, 68% conformance, and a few that were non-conforming. The last round, yeah, there's still the one institution, but there's a whole pile more that have moved up from conformance to improved, and next time round, we will see certainly two or three institutions move from improved into superior. And so we know that the capability of people in the sector for procurement has moved ahead very significantly over the last 3 years. The other thing I should probably say that we're also doing, talking about cost-sharing groups, is we are setting ourselves up as a cost-sharing group. Because of the way we were set up to start with, we can relatively easily convert in and basically register as a cost-sharing group without actually having to do an awful lot. And that will obviously help with the shared service and the VAT on that. So, if I now look ahead and just very quickly say, what about procurement generally, and this will apply right across the UK, there is a growing amount of activity. If you kind of look back, it was basically about value for money, processes that we talked about earlier about transparency, but actually it is competition as well. Focus tended to be on the initial transaction. If you kind of look at where better people are now, you're aligning your procurement to the strategic objectives and the service delivery. Yeah, there's changes in case law and legislative legislation because of EU and its public procurement. remedies directives, looking at lifetime costs, looking at collaboration. But then going forward, you've got areas in sustainability, social responsibility, innovation, people wanting procurement to actually deliver local economic development, having building local employment needs, fighting corruption, organisation reshaping mergers, and then an interesting boundary of when actually would institutions be within the public procurement net and when do they start falling outside the public procurement net. So there's a huge number of challenges, and I say we've seen APUC move forward, but if you look at the rest of the UK, then I think there is, a huge amount of basically momentum needs to be built up to deliver some of those challenges. What's made the difference to us? We had a driving force. There is inertia in putting shared services together. There was a driving force, which in our case happened to be the Scottish Government, to push people past that inertia barrier and get people moving and moving forward. We actively managed that storm where there was rejection. We actually got in and we tried to sort it. Sponsorship and stakeholder relationships. I talked about the kind of different levels that we operate at and where we talk to people, but that's hugely, hugely important. We have a customer service approach. We do capability assessments and an improvement agenda. And that means every institution can see what's happening, see where they are, see how they can improve, and we can deliver their agendas, and we demonstrate benefit delivery. So that's what APUC does, and that's, I think, what's made the difference in terms of what we're doing. But final couple of minutes, just a bit reflection. This is shared services generally, and apologies for just moving off slightly, but I think it is relevant. What I did a few years ago was kind of look at what's the characteristics that make shared services easier to do or more difficult to do. And there are a number of things in my mind. Nature of the services, if you've got major systems changes, it's more difficult than if you're trying to put a shared service together that's primarily knowledge activity. If you've got autonomous organisations where you need a consensual approach, it's more difficult than whether you've got a single point and a driving force that pushes you past the inertia. If you've got activities that are regarded as competitive, then it's more difficult. If you've got activities that are regarded as a standard service and not part of your competitiveness, it's easier to get people bought in. If you've got similar structures, it's easier. If you've got different structures, it's more difficult. Size, I think, comes into it. Some people try and bite off just too much. Economics obviously benefits. If you can demonstrate things, it's easier. Business priorities. If you've got other things going on than that is a business priority, then it's actually more difficult to get the attention to put shared service in place. If you've got an integrated system strategy, then it's more difficult to pull out and go for a shared service, whereas if you've got separate functional strategies in your organisation, you can pull things out. And leadership and buying goes without saying. I think there is a cycle, though, with shared services. So last bit of kind of cynical me. Basically, what happens with shared services, and we've all seen it, is that we look around and go, everybody's got doing the same thing. Surely we should bring things together. And I've been around this with umpteen governments and organisations. New person comes in, great idea, let's have a shared service. So say, yep, great idea. What happens? You centralise things, you bring things together. Absolutely great. You then start to do the reducing of the cost. You then focus on service and excellence and what have you. Absolutely great. New cost starts to come in place. If you're not careful, things start to diverge from between your shared service and your customer base. Shared service in danger of being run reactive to local need because it's following its own agenda rather than the customer's agenda. And if it doesn't take much at that point in time, whether it's technology triggers or strategy or what have you, suddenly you've got this shared service isn't working, let's pull back from it, let's bring it back in-house because it'll be much more responsive. And basically you then reduce the shared service management cost. Now, that was a great idea, wasn't it? You adapt it, it's got to you focus it to local strategic need, absolutely great. It's now doing what I want it to do. And then somebody says, look at this. We've got a load of services all doing the same thing. I've got a great idea. Let's bring them together again. there is a sweet spot, and that's where certainly in APUC we want to be. We're trying to take cost out. We've taken cost out, but we're focusing on service and excellence, and that's where we're trying to stay. But we're very conscious that actually you can start spinning around that cycle. And the final thought is, doing these things, it's all about people. It's very little to do with process systems. It's all about culture, people, and delivery. And those are absolutely huge. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.